Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
So welcome to another episode of Chestnut Checkers Podcast. Now, we have a special guest, an expert on Airbnb listings and how to make the max amount of profit that you can make. Well, you guys know that over the last 2 years, you guys have followed me on my journey on Instagram. You've saw the gains that I've made on stocks and crypto. So the next step, people always say, Armando, what's your next step? Well, the next step is to diversify those gains into real estate. Now, I sit back and I think, what's the biggest return we could get on real estate, right? So the average real estate return is about 9% when you rent the house out. But there's another opportunity out there. There's Airbnb, right? So you see a lot of people making a lot of money, but where do we start? I don't know, because I'm not in that business, but I need a mentor. I need somebody I can look out to. I need somebody that I can reach out to for questions. Well, I found someone, right? And I want to share you guys the questions that I'm going to ask, and I'm going to bring him on. And we're going to discuss what are the steps to have a successful Airbnb. So would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Jorge Contreras, born to Mexican immigrant parents. I live out of Los Angeles, started investing in real estate in 2012, became financially free at 29, millionaire by 30. And I'm an experienced investor. I always look at fourth wealth building vehicles, right? Business, real estate, crypto, and stocks. I'm most experienced in the top three, stocks the least. And so I'm glad to be here, being able to share a little bit of what I learned along my journey. The two things that make an Airbnb very attractive that are going to help you create the most amount of revenue and occupancy. One is location, right? So if you have a condo like in Miami Beach, for example, that's going to attract a lot of tourism. So wherever there's a lot of people, there's a lot of tourism, there's a lot of opportunity. And then the second thing, and this is a strategy that could work around popular areas or even around unpopular areas, and that's creating a staycation experience. So during the pandemic, the whole world froze for about 2 weeks, but then a little bit after, in the middle of April, our Airbnb started to pick up because a lot of our properties, they have pools, jacuzzi, a pool table, foosball table, game rooms, and so many things like that. So we started attracting a lot of people from the same cities or nearby cities who were tired of living in their small apartments and wanted to just get away for a couple of days in a single family residence. So a staycation experience and or wherever the tourism is, like if you're near Disneyland, the beach, downtown, the convention center, where all the action. And of course, if you can create a staycation experience within the prime areas where there's constant activity and tourism, that's going to be the best worlds.
All right. Sounds good, man. And that's something I thought of, is that close to vacation areas, you know, I didn't know about that staycation thing, but that's interesting, man, is that people will stay, I guess you stay in your own town, but you just want to stay somewhere else. I never thought about that. I was geared more toward vacation, people coming from out of town. That's pretty good insight.
Yeah, you know, you think of all the people that live in small apartments or small condos, and with all the lack of social distancing, sharing elevators, hallways, they just want to get, you know, maybe rent a whole house for 2, 3, 4 nights with, you know, husband, wife, and kids. And so that worked out really well because our business didn't depend on people traveling by plane. It was people traveling by car. So that allowed us to do really well during the pandemic. And of course, now that things are opened up, there's a huge influx of travel because people were sick and tired. It was like a rubber band effect. People just waiting. And now, boom, it's summer. Everything's opening up. So it's really a great way to get into Airbnb. And I know a lot of people are here saying, but Jorge, I can't buy property. I don't own property. So there's three ways that you can get into Airbnb. Of course, number one, you could buy real estate. That's going to take down payment, closing costs, furniture, decor, pictures, right? The other way is starting an Airbnb business without buying property. This is called subleasing or Airbnb arbitrage. Like imagine if I rented Armando's condo for whatever the fair market rent is, say it's $2,000 a month. I pay him $2,000 a month for 12 months. And then I launch it on Airbnb. I get permission in writing in the lease agreement from Armando. And maybe I start charging, you know, $250 a night. At 10 nights, I'm already at $2,500, right? At 20 nights, I'm at $5K. And at 30 nights, I'm at $7,500 while paying him $2,000. Yeah, I still got cleaning, but cleaning doesn't come out of your pocket. It's a separate fee that we charge the guests. So that's subleasing. And then the final way is co-hosting. This is where if Mondo was like, hey, Jorge, man, I'm so busy with all my businesses. I got my Sunday night classes and my family. Can you manage it for me? So then I manage his Airbnb and I get a percentage of all the revenue. This is like a revenue share agreement. So that's called co-hosting. So you got buying, subleasing, and co-hosting. Co-hosting requires no money out of pocket, but you do need to understand the business in order to help someone generate more money while giving them a hands-off experience.
That's good info, man. I'm more interested in having some. And that's a lot, you know. A lot of times, people when they get in investments, when they get into business, they want their hands on, right? But the smartest thing to do in any investment is have it passive. So what you said about co-hosting and having somebody manage it for you, that's a perfect path to a passive, turning an Airbnb into a passive investment, right? And that's what you want to do because you don't want to take up too much time in your life. You want to keep your hours free and have somebody else do it. That's my opinion, right? I'm sure that there's benefits in all of that. But my goal is to have passive streams of income. And I think that's a great way to go with Airbnb. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the ways that that I teach people how to automate it so that it is passive 95% is creating an in-house team of virtual assistants. And this has become popular for pretty much all industries. So we hire virtual assistants in Latin America and in the Philippines. And usually for about $30 a month, they will do 100% of all the communications. And there's only three operations to automate in the business. So that way you can work on the business and not in the business. And that's the cleaning, maintenance from time to time, and the communications. The communications are virtual, right? They're just done from the Airbnb app. So anybody can do it from anywhere in the world. And the only person who's really there 95% of the time is the one who cleans it. There's going to be 4 to 8 cleanings a month. What we do is we add them to the Airbnb account, the listing. Now they can see the calendar and you never have to communicate when to clean, when not to clean, and then you just sell them on the first of the month for the previous month. If there was, you know, 6 cleanings times 150, boom, and that's it. And then you want to have, you know, 2 maintenance people that are on call for whenever there's maintenance needed. And you have a window, right? People check out at either 10 or 11 a.m., and then they check in at either 3 or 4. So you got a 4 to 6 hour window to do the cleaning, little maintenance if needed, and that's it. But the only people that ever need to be there physically, cleaning and maintenance. And you know, there's not many businesses out there where you could start a business without doing any marketing and any sales. So that's why I think Airbnb is a great business model, especially for those people that are just, you know, getting their feet wet. This is their first rodeo into entrepreneurship because you don't have to do marketing or sales. Airbnb does it all for you. They just take 3%. You as the host keep 97%. So I always say this allows you to create not just time and financial freedom, but location freedom because you can run this business 100% from your phone.
Sounds good, man. And that's the goal for today, right? Is to be able to run your business from your phone. So that gives you the freedom to go on vacation, to do whatever you want, to live your life as you see fit. And that's the goal that a lot of us have is an investment. I mean, like, you don't want to work forever in all this stuff. You know, I don't want to sit trade stocks. I don't want to do tech. I love this stuff. But I mean, you don't want to spend your entire life. Your kids are growing up, and you want to spend time with your family. You want to spend time enjoying your friends. You want to spend time enjoying the world as a whole, right? Vacations or whatever. So you want to turn all these into passive income. If it's not a passive income, you want to at least turn it to something you can run from your phone. So you're able to live your life and, you know, and kind of like like my brother says, he's an HR manager. He said, what the goal of HR is to create a work-life infusion to where, you know, your work and life are integrated, right? But so you're able to spend time with your family, whatever. And, you know, send a text message so every once in a while, send an email so once in a while, but you're able to do as you see fit. You can go to the gym, you could be with your friends, you could still work and be very productive. And that's the goal with a lot of investments. I think Airbnb gives us a perfect path to that, right? So another question I have, right? So I bought my first condo cash. And the reason I did that, I know a smarter way is to use leverage or whatever, but I just didn't like the risk. And I didn't know how long it was going to take and nothing like that. So I didn't want to be stuck with mortgage payments. So I just bought it cash. And I said, well, after I get an Airbnb and after it starts making money, I'll take out a mortgage against it, buy more properties. That's my goal, right? But what do you think is the best way to acquire quality Airbnb properties?
So the number one thing is there is a software. I'm going to type it here in the chat because some people are going to be like, hey, how do you spell it? It's called Mashvisor. And I'm sure you have different websites or softwares to analyze, you know, data and certain things about stocks as well as crypto. So the equal to that for us in the short-term rental business for Airbnb specifically is Mashvisor. It is a paid website, but it's great. It works everywhere in the U.S., except Puerto Rico, unfortunately. but what's cool is they give you all the data. You can see all the Airbnbs all over the U.S. and you can see their existing revenue and occupancy, not just for this month, but for the last 12 months. So here's the thing. Imagine you were looking at, you said you live in Tampa, right? So imagine you're looking in Tampa, Florida. And obviously, Tampa is a big city. So within Tampa, there's like little sub-cities, little sub-markets. So let's say that in a, give me a name of a popular submarket within Tampa.
Let's say Hyde Park.
Okay. Hyde Park?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say that in Hyde Park, there's three other Airbnbs that are all, let's say, two bedroom, one bathroom apartments, and all of them are generating $6,000 to $7,000 a month on average for the last 12 months. And you find one available on Zillow. Right. I'm going to type Zillow in here for anyone that isn't familiar, but I'm pretty sure when you talk about stocks, they know what it is. So you go on Zillow and you find a similar two bedroom, one bathroom apartment, similar amenities, similar location. Maybe it's a few blocks away from the other ones. And this one, you can rent it for $2,500 or you could buy it and have a $2,500, $2,800 mortgage payment. Well, we want to make sure that we can pay half or less than half than the average or the lowest of the other three. So if there's three other ones making $6,000 to $7,000 and we can rent or buy one and have a rent or mortgage payment of under $3,000, then that makes sense because at minimum, we want to be able to double what we're going to pay for our mortgage or pay in rent if you're subleasing it. And Mashvisor allows you to, in 10 seconds, know that for, again, all the cities in the U.S.
All right, that's good information, man. So I'm gonna start looking at that myself, trying to train myself on picking the right one. So you say that that the revenue from an Airbnb, you want it to at least be double of what you're paying in mortgage. Exactly. I would have thought less. You know, I would have thought just like let's say, for example, you're paying $2,000 a month in mortgage. I would say, well, if you make $25,000, you're at least clearing the $500. But I guess that's not big enough margins.
No, and that's why Airbnb is so, you know, critical because the margins are crazy. You know, like most real estate investors, they look at they have a goal of getting $200 of cash flow per door, right? So if they want to get to 1,000, that's five doors. But with Airbnb, I mean, not BSing, I have students that are making $2,000 to $7,000 a month of cash flow with one Airbnb. And so when you look at the data correctly and you see the financials and you see that it makes sense and you're not just flipping a coin, you're going based on factual information, then it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when and by how much. So our goal is always to be able to double, and that's what makes it so critical. All you need is two or three Airbnbs to make a six figure a year passive income.
That's crazy, man.
You know, and I think, as you mentioned, from diversifying, like I've been in crypto since, 2017. Stocks is my newest thing. I just got into that when they were pretty much giving them away last year in March, but real estate since 2012. And so I'm a big fan of those four vehicles, right? Like yesterday, this one guy messaged me and he's like, Jorge, what would be your financial, I don't know, like for the day, something you could share with me. I said, master the four wealth building vehicles, business, real estate, crypto, and stocks. So I'm a big fan. I'm invested in all four. Like I said, the top three are my most experienced, but I think that everyone should try to get into at least two or three to diversify their portfolio and start, you know, building a legacy, start, you know, really building their own last name rather than working for someone else.
That's right, man. So we got a lot of questions. So I'm going to try to answer some of these questions before we start. If you guys enjoy what you're hearing, if you are getting benefit from what we're talking about, the badges are at the bottom of the screen. I'd appreciate it if you guys would buy a badge or two to, you know, to show you that we have what we're talking about has value and you guys are learning something. So those badges help us, like with equipment, help me with equipment, help me buy things that I need, help me build this studio that I'm creating to do YouTube videos. So if you guys are buy badges too, I'd appreciate that. But the question that everybody...
You know, Armando has a family, he's busy, he's got a lot of things going on, and this guy goes live like almost every day. And I don't know many other successful entrepreneurs and investors that give away so much knowledge and so much information for free. So I hope you guys are buying those badges and supporting Armando.
I appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that. So back to what I was saying is that people are asking now, can we do this Airbnb thing internationally? Can we do it in Mexico? Can we do it overseas? So what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just writing the four in there. Business, real estate, crypto, stock. Somebody was asking. So here's the thing, right? The only thing that can change when you're going into another country is the acquisition strategy. And I'll give you an example. If you are subleasing in Mexico, subleasing contracts in Mexico are not valid. They don't acknowledge contracts, right? So you have to understand the laws of the country that you're going to invest in. So I'm not going to sublease in look at all those badges. I love it. Get some more, guys. Get some more badges. So you just want to make sure you understand, like, if you're going to go into another country, the first thing you have to understand is what's the process or the method to acquire. Like, if you're going to buy a property in another country, you need to understand, right? Like, you not being a citizen, like, how does that impact you? There's also often, like, what do they call, like, international taxes because you're not a citizen or a resident. So that's the number one thing, right? But once you acquire it, it is exactly the same. You still just have cleaning, maintenance, and communication. And again, when you automate those three things, it's super simple. So here's the way I automate it, so that it allows you to operate this business from anywhere in the world. You create a WhatsApp or a Slack group with the whole team. You, the cleaning, maintenance, and communication. You know, what I do is we have a Slack group. And what I like about Slack, which helps you when you're scaling, is you can have a channel for each property. So I have like the Long Beach channel, the San Diego channel, the Riverside channel, the LA channel, so on and so forth. And with any channel, everyone who pertains to that property is in it. And this way we can all communicate. So if there's a little, you know, the cleaning crew arrives at 10 o'clock and they're like, oh, I noticed there's a little bit of a water leak. Let me go into the channel and let me tag, you know, Jose, the maintenance guy. And Jose gets a message, boom, he's on his way. He takes care of it. So as long as you automate those three things, cleaning, maintenance, and communication, you can run the business from anywhere in the world. I live in Los Angeles, but I have an Airbnb in San Diego. I've had it for almost 2 years and I have never, ever seen this property in person. Why? Because if I'm not the one cleaning it or doing maintenance, there's nothing else to do other than cleaning and maintenance. But a lot of it has to do with your mindset, right? Because when you are trained and conditioned as an employee, you usually say, but Jorge, how am I going to run it if I'm not there? Because you're so trained and conditioned to be trading time for money and clocking in at a physical place. But my mindset, anytime I get into any business, is great. Who's going to manage it? Who's going to be the manager? Because I want to work on the business, not in the business, in order to create that time, financial, and location freedom. So the first thing is you got to switch your mindset from an employee mindset to an entrepreneur mindset, right? Robert Kiyosaki enriched that. He talks about the four types of people that make up the world of business: employees, self-employed, business owners, and investors. So you need to first start training your mindset to think like an entrepreneur and investor, so then you can truly believe and implement automation.
That's right, man. That's what I try to do in my life, is create passive streams of income. So you can't build multiple streams unless most of them are passive. Otherwise, you don't have enough hours in the day, right? So everything has to be looked at through that mindset and that view, or you won't make it, man. So another thing, right, is that I always try to think of risk. I always think about what's the riskiest thing, right? I know that Airbnb does provide insurance. So how does that work? Let's say somebody goes into a property and has a crazy party and destroys everything. Now, how does that work with Airbnb?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, let's talk about some of those cons, right? What are the challenges? Because there's no such thing of any business or any investment that I've heard of that is 100% guaranteed and 100% upside. Like, there's no guarantee. The only guarantees are taxes and death, right? That's it. Other than that, there's no guarantee. So there's risk in everything. But like Jim Rohn says, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better. So when you keep learning and growing and adapting and pivoting, you'll make it work. I always say, I'm either going to win or I'm going to learn. And that's it. That's all that ever exists. So let's talk about some of the risks, starting with that first question. What happens if someone breaks a couch, a bed, a coffee pot? Well, what happens if you stay in a hotel and the same thing happens? You break something, you damage something, they charge your credit card, which is on file. Same thing happens with Airbnb. And that's why I love working with Airbnb as my one and only platform. They will hold the guest credit card for 14 days after they check out. But you must submit the claim before the next guest checks in. Otherwise, they won't know who did it. You need to submit pictures and certain things to prove that it was them. But in short, you're able to charge them by submitting the claim. Okay, now let's go into the number. There's always two major concerns, right? Well, Jorge, what happens if I launch an Airbnb in a certain city and then they change the ordinance? Right? That could happen. And that's one of the challenges about Airbnb is you don't have control of ordinances. But I always say, you know, person A says, well, I'm not going to get started because what if they change the ordinance? Person B gets started and maybe they do change the ordinance in 6 months. But think about who you became in the process and in the journey of those 6 months, what you learned. And now you can continue to take all that knowledge and information and implement it into another city or into another business. So again, I only win or I learn. The riskiest thing is to not take action and not invest at all. So if they change the ordinance, all you do, like say you're subleasing a property and 6 months later, halfway through your lease, they change the ordinance. All you do is you put a long-term tenant in there for the remainder of the lease. And as long as you paid fair market rent, which is what they would have paid, you're going to break even for the remainder of the lease, collect your deposit at the end of the lease, and then walk away, go to the next one. The other concern is, Jorge, what if my Airbnb doesn't make money? Well, if you use MashVisor and you do your homework correctly, you're going to make money. It's like a 99% chance you'll do good if you do your homework correctly before. But in the event that you didn't make money, or say you were like at a negative cash flow of $300 or $500 a month, you do the same thing. You put a long-term tenant in there for the remainder of the lease. Collect your deposit at the end of it. Those are the two worst things that could hypothetically happen. They change an ordinance or you're not making money. And the solution is the same. You put a long-term tenant and then walk away at the end of the lease. The other thing people will say is, Jorge, what about insurance? So there's two ways you can go about it. Yeah. The proper insurance is short-term rental insurance, right? However, I don't have any short-term rental insurance. What I do have is, and I recommend this for anybody who owns real estate, businesses, or has a decent amount of money in the bank, and that's getting a personal umbrella policy. You can get $1 million of personal coverage for like $300 to $400 a year, and it'll cover you for anything. So I rather have that than 20 short-term rental insurances on my property, which doesn't make sense because if something happens at one, I have this personal coverage. So those are usually like some of the biggest concerns or questions that I often get.
All right. So somebody's asking a question here, and this is something that I'm also curious about, is let's say somebody has a place up for lease, right? You approach them. Do you tell them that it's going to be an Airbnb? How does that work? Like, how do you negotiate or talk to a potential Airbnb property you want to lease and then sublease? How does that, you explain that to me.
Yeah, let me explain it. And I'm not bullshitting. This is the first time I'll ever share this information because I normally only share this with also with my coaching clients. But I'm about to give away the sauce for free. I've never done this. Okay. The way we introduce it. Yeah. I'm not bullshitting because, you know, they're going to get upset and be like, yo, we paid for this, but we got,
yeah, like they pay for a lot more though. That's just one negative. They pay for a lot more. So we people get mad at me too, but they're getting 99% at what they're getting paid for. One nugget is just one nugget, right?
All right. So the way we introduce it is as corporate housing. And here's why. Airbnb as a term, because it's gotten so big and so popular, there's been a few instances, maybe one for every 1 million bookings. Maybe someone threw a party, you know, had some damage in the property, and then they put it on the news or on YouTube. It went viral. And all of a sudden, some landlords think that Airbnbs all they do is party. So yeah. If you approach them and say, hey, can I rent your property and do Airbnb? They immediately think the word party. So what I do is I reach out to them and I'll say, hey, Armando, I see your property here on 123 Main Street. Is that still available? Armando says, yes, it is. And then I say, great. Do you work with corporate housing? And he'll usually say, well, what is that? How does that work? Great. So I have a business where we work with working professionals who are coming for training in the area or providing their service. So the way it works is I would rent your property for 12 months and set up an auto pay for the monthly rent, you know, days early every single month so that you always get your money days early. I also have a professional cleaning staff. So the property is going to get deep cleaned 4 to 8 times a month. So this way we keep it in for sale condition. And at the end of the 12 months, you don't have to do any types of repairs or renovations because I am going to provide a 5-star experience for each and every professional guest, right? And that's usually the first thing. And then they'll be like, well, and then they start asking questions. They might have a couple objections. They might say, well, Jorge, I don't want people coming in and out of the property. You know, everyone here in the neighborhood knows each other. I feel like that's going to be a challenge. And then we assure them that we have a strict no party, no event policy, quiet hours from 10 p.m. to 8 in the morning, that we also set up security cameras, one in the front and one in the back, and they're aware of it. We also filter and verify each and every guest, which happens through Airbnb, to make sure that we only attract professionals, which obviously it's in our interest as Airbnb entrepreneurs to protect the property and protect the neighborhood. Because if we do, then we have a sustainable and scalable business model. And if we allow people to consecutively throw parties and consecutively have bad apples, then it's going to ruin your opportunity of being able to renew the lease. But that's how we do it, is we introduce it as corporate housing.
So it's a win-win situation because they're going to get an apartment or a condo or whatever. They're going to get it clean. They're going to get it repaired. They're going to get it back in better shape. They're going to get guaranteed payments. So if I was on that side, I wouldn't care what you did with it. You know, as long as I got my money, I'm okay. That's what a lot of people get stuck with, is that they were like, if you give, you sell somebody something, that's why a lot of people are confused here. They're like, well, who would let you sublease? But it from a business perspective, if I'm a smart businessman and somebody called me with that plan or whatever, that opportunity, I'd be 100% okay with that. Like, look, I don't have to deal with it no more. Money's coming in automatic, and the dude's gonna clean it and take care of it. I'm gonna get it back in the same condition. I wouldn't care from that perspective, right? So I don't think anybody would care. So any smart businessman who, you know, most of the time people that own properties are a little bit, you know, savvy in that, they would be okay with it. They'll go ahead, right?
Exactly. And one of the things that we tell the landlords is that we're going to take care of 100% of all the utilities, all the vendors. Like if there's landscaping and pool, we take care of everything. We set them up on auto pay. And of course, if you have, you know, good credit and some financials, like you have some money in the bank, you know, you're going to pay them the first month, the deposit. You can even get renter's insurance on lemonade.com for like $15 a month, which is cheap. It gives them an additional layer of just peace of mind. And it's really a win-win because often landlords, once they earn your trust, guess what? People that own property know other people that own other property, and often they themselves own other property. So, you know, never forget, one of the first guys I worked with, his name is Mark. And right after we launched, within 2 weeks, he's like, hey, Jorge, he's like, you know, I you know, me and my family, he said, we own a lot of rentals. Are you interested in this city, this city, this city, this city? And then here's the other cool thing, right? Like my number one property right now, I own, I sublease, and I co-host, but most of them are on the subleasing side. But by the end of this year, they're going to be mostly on the ownership because I'm starting to acquire more on the purchasing side. But long story short, I sublease this property from this landlord named Mark. And this property generates about $9,000 a month of revenue, and my rent is $2,400. And we've had this sublease for about 2 years. So on Tuesday, we are going to approach the owner and talk about the possibility of buying the property from him off market. And we ran the numbers. I spoke to my mortgage lender. He said that we would have a total payment, PITI, if you guys want to write this down. It's principal, interest, taxes, insurance, right? Those things combined. And it's going to be under $3,000 buying this property. Imagine paying a mortgage of $3,000 and generating $9,000. Even after cleaning, that's going to net me $4,000 to $4,500 a month of cash flow. You know, that's close to $50,000 a year, just one fully automated without having to visit the property. So there's a lot of different ways you could rent it and then talk about in the future buying it off of them. And obviously right now is a great time to sell. So I already did the numbers. I would pay this guy fair market rent, top dollar, but off market. And my upside is that in a lot of areas, especially in California, properties are selling for $50,000 to $150,000 above asking. So that would be my upside, is that I wouldn't have to compete with anyone because it would just be the landlord and I. And their upside is they wouldn't have to pay 5 or 6% commissions to a realtor. We would just do it off market with escrow. And so again, that is also another creative way to continue to build your wealth.
That's smart, man. That's smart. So another question I had is that this is the last one, right? Then I want to learn about your programs, learn about what you provide and the things you have that can help people, you know, start this journey, right? Because I probably will look into some of them. I want you to help me out. You're with mine. So I want to know about them myself. But the last question I have is that I had a friend, right? So I had a friend that had an Airbnb, and his problem was with the people. He was trying to manage it himself. People were coming in and out. So what's better, right? So I know on Airbnb, you can have longer term. People can only stay 2 weeks minimum, or you can have short term. Like people can stay 1 day, 2 days. Now, which of those clients are the most problematic? The people who if you allow your Airbnb to be rented day by day, or you only allowed, what's the best time period to restrict rentals to?
Great question. So we do as low as 2 nights and as long as 28 nights. And the reason for that, and this kind of ties into a big point that gives people here, the listeners, the viewers, a big advantage when doing subleasing. And that's because right now we still have an eviction freeze, meaning somebody can rent your unit, pay the first month, and then not pay for the next 11 months. And say the rent is $3,000. In 11 months, that's $33,000 that the owner would miss out on because of this eviction freeze. You can't evict people right now. And there's a high possibility that they're going to keep kicking the can down the road. And so, we just got a new sublease that I'm going to be signing the lease, this Tuesday. And I told the property manager, I said, hey, I'm sure you're already aware, but one of the advantages of working with me is you don't have to worry about these eviction freezes, because we only work with short-term rentals, which is under 30 days. And a lot of those laws kick in after 30 days. So going back to the question, all of our tenants, the max they can stay at the property is 28 days. So that way they don't get any of those tenant laws that kick in after 30 days. So 2 to 28 days. And really the people who can become problematic is the people that book a Friday or Saturday and are from your same city, because no one's going to come from LA to Tampa to throw a party at your house, right? It's usually someone who lives in Tampa who books your property.
Smart.
In Tampa.
That's a good price.
Right.
Good idea.
So what I do is my virtual assistants in Mexico, Mexico City, if Armando's booking my property on a Friday, Saturday for my LA property, and he lives in LA, they're going to start digging in and being, hey, Armando, what brings you to the area? Oh, yeah, whatever. So they start digging in and they start asking information, and we'll tell them, like, here, you know, if it seems a little weird, a little iffy, we'll be like, here, Armando, just to let you know, the neighbor to the right of you, he's a LAPD, a Los Angeles, from the LAPD, a police officer. He's very strict when it comes to noise, super picky. So I just want to let you know that in the past, we've had people to come and throw a party, and they get shut down and kicked out immediately, and they lose their entire reservation and booking all the money. And we just want to make sure that that's not what your intention is, because, you know, by 9 p.m., it will be shut down. And people then are like, damn, I guess I'm not going to be able to throw a party. And so we'll do things like that. I'll leave if they're not answering, we go to the extent where my team will start calling them and saying, hey, Armando, I know you have a booking coming up this weekend. I just want to go over some of the rules and go over the no party, no event policy, all that stuff. So that's how we deter those people that want to throw a party.
All right. So before we continue, I want to say the badge at the bottom of the screen. If you love what we're talking about, if you're getting positive informational knowledge right now, you know, buy a few badges at the bottom of the screen. I'd appreciate it. And that would help, you know, help a lot. That would show us the appreciation, show us that you value what we're talking about. So, you know, if you already bought one, you could buy another one. But this is what I want to talk. This is what I want to end with, right? Is that I have a pet peeve, you know, and I do, and maybe I shouldn't, but I do. But I see so many people on Instagram faking. I see them faking about what they did. I can see right through. I mean, I'm an experienced business person. I can see right through 80% of the people talking about real estate, talking about crypto, talking about stocks, right? Maybe the average person can't see through it. But what I like about you is what, and everybody knows it. That's why so many people on here are saying Jorge's a beast. Jorge knows what he's talking about, because that experience and that knowledge comes right through in the IG. It's not like you're on here saying, hey, man, you got to get your money. You got to do this. You got to keep going. It's just basic generic information. You've given specific information on what you can do and what you can't do. That only comes from experience. That only comes from years of knowledge and learning, right? So I appreciate you as being one of the only, you know, few real people out there, especially on Instagram, which is a whole world of fakeness, right? So with that being said, I want to know for myself, how do I get, let's say I want you to help me with my Airbnb. I want you to help me grow, help me learn, help me get into this very, very powerful business, very profitable business, as you told us. So what would I do? What I know I can follow you on Instagram, and I'm going to put the your at, and when I post this live, I'll put it on there so you guys can follow him. But what else would I do? Would I get in a program? Do you have a mentorship? Tell us what you have.
Yeah. So the first thing I recommend, right? And this is only like $15 on Amazon, but this became an Amazon bestseller. It's called Breaking Through. It's a real book, right? And I always say that 90% of success is not really strategy. It's mindset. It's everything to do with your mindset. And that's what makes, you know, Armando so successful. Is he's willing to jump off a mountain and build an airplane on the way down. But it's a mindset you have to develop, and you have to be able to see the value in taking risk and taking chances. So this book is all about mindset. So I highly recommend you guys check it out. It's called Breaking Through. The hard copy is on Amazon. The audiobook will be available in June. But basically, you know, I don't want to spend too much time talking about my programs. I just really wanted to come on and, you know, give some value. And then I definitely, you know, I'll make a deal, Armando. I'll work with you and help you start your Airbnb business if you promise that when you're in Puerto Rico, I can come visit and you'll tour me around.
Okay, that's a good deal. I'm willing to do that, man. With so much information, so much value, man. That's nothing. I'm getting it at a discount. Well, let's do it, man.
You know, me and my wife were actually, we were going to have our honeymoon in Puerto Rico in 2017 when the crazy disaster happened. We were about to fly a couple days before. So, man, we had to take a rain check, but we really want to go to Puerto Rico. Plus, I heard that the crypto taxes are like zero or super low. Like, yeah. Man, that's ridiculous. Man, if I can move my whole portfolio, obviously it's all digital, right? I have it in my in my Ledger Nano S in my cold storage. But anyways, so in short, I have a 90-day group coaching, 90-day group coaching program, done with you process. And there's three types of mentorships out there, right? There's the do it yourself, But what I have found is that most of the time they're not as effective because there's no coaching, support, accountability, Q&A. People are going to have questions and no one's there to answer. So that's the do it yourself. And then at the opposite, it's the done for you. And done for you is really good if you're like someone who's super busy. But most people here, you know, are probably in a place where they need to learn how to fish so they can repeat the process. So the best strategy for that is the middle one, which is the done with you process. So in the 90-day group coaching, we have weekly coaching calls on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays that are live on Zoom. We have an online course with all the curriculums, with the scripts, videos of me speaking to landlords, getting, you know, 85% of people. Yeah, 85% of landlords tell me yes on the first phone call. And I gave the short version here earlier. So if you just join, make sure you watch it. We have a Slack community, Facebook community. So if anyone's interested, you know, just send me a DM and I could give you more information. But I think you and I should hop on another call and we can definitely, maybe what we can do next time, whatever you think is better, Instagram or Zoom, and we can guide you on this first launch, but kind of bring everybody on the journey so they can learn hands-on how it happens. I think that would be a nice treat for your audience.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jorge. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. This is the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.